Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, Deb Wolf, coming to you from Sunny Camp Good Dog, where it's kind of like Survivor, sort of. I mean, we do have to wear boots and we do get wet and dirty and we do have to do all kinds of things we don't want to do, like poop scoop, but nobody ever gets eliminated. It's all and no one's ever out to get anyone else. So no. So maybe it's not like Survivor. It's just sometimes the weather can get pretty rough here. But our first guest today is coming to us from Survivor. That's right. Joe Del Campo is joining us, and he's going to tell us what that's like. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So, okay, is it as bad as it looks? When I look at the show, they look like they're just exhausted, dehydrated, hungry, and itchy, and stuff like that. Is it bad?
Well, actually, you've captured in those few words exactly what it was like. I can't say that it was fun. When you're there on a desert island and you try and get your own food because you're not given food, you have to construct a shelter out of bamboo, which has knots on it, so it's not like sleeping on a mattress. And then you have the bugs to deal with, which they're there all the time. At night, mosquitoes. In the daytime, they have a thing called sandfly. That's a very nasty creature. So, yes, it is as bad, if not worse.
See, I always think that if someone, when I watch the show, I think if someone has ever done basic training for the military and has ever been drafted anywhere and had to do survivor training, they're not going to want to be on this show because they've been there, done that, right? I mean, it's kind of like that, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, basic training, I was a naval officer. I had to go through, as a cadet, so basically to become an officer. But this is ongoing every day. And again, at least when you're going through the military service, they give you 3 square meals a day. You have a nice, comfortable bed to sleep in, although it does get tough when you have to go out in the field. But this is a
and there's not a constant plot on to take over the unit. Oh,
exactly.
Man, that's got to be stressful.
Well, it's stressful in many ways. First of all, I was the second oldest in the history of the show. The oldest was Rudy Bosch back in 2000. And actually, I had applied for that show, but I was not selected. So I'm the second oldest person, the second who was 70 years or older that appeared on the show. Now, you have to see that at the same time, there was an 18-year-old during my season. So there's 50-some years difference between me and a younger person. That's quite an expanse, don't you think?
I guess so. But hopefully, I mean, you can kind of tap into, I don't know how you played it. Did you play the grandpa? Did you get their sympathy and did you act kind?
Well, they called me Papa Smurf, some of them. Now, I don't know if that qualifies for grandpa, but I guess kind of does. But most of them were in their 20s and 30s. There was two folks were in their 40s, nobody in their 50s and 60s, and then old Joe. So I just tried keeping up with the youngsters as best I could.
How does it work for you when you're in the game, in the moment? Are you always aware, or are you just like going for food if that's what you're, if you're hungry? Are you actually always in the back of your mind thinking about who's in charge?
Again, the game is always in the back of your mind, and then trying to strike alliances, an alliance with someone or a group of people so that you can make it to the end to become what they refer to as the ultimate survivor. Sometimes it's two people at the end or three people. Those people are voted upon by a jury that is composed of people who have been voted off by the same people and are now pleading their case to win $1 million. And one of those two or three people will be the ultimate winner of $1 million. And the season is still on, so none of us know who that person is, because that'll happen live in California on May 18th on the live show.
Do you get to vote? Are you one of the voters now?
I can't comment on that particular phase of it because it's still ongoing. I have a non-disclosure agreement with CBS, and if the season were over, I could make different comments. But since it's still a live, ongoing show, there's not too much I can really talk about up until including now, which next week will be the 9th episode. So it's been on now for 8 episodes or 2 months.
Okay, well, they're supposed to be filming you 24 hours a day. Is that really true, the whole time you're there?
Absolutely. So every 3 days is when we have what we call a challenge. It's a physical challenge. You could also have what we call a reward challenge, where it could be food. In other words, you have to go through a certain challenge, we'll say, like climbing up trees or running in the jungle and getting things. And then the winner of that would win a reward, whether it's what they call immunity necklace, which would be a necklace that you're given so that you would be free from being voted out for that particular day. Or if it's a team effort, then a reward might be pizzas and the cold drinks and things of that sort. So that's what you strive for, is to try and stay in the win and not go to what we call tribal council. Because when you lose, your team loses, then that night you go to tribal council and one of your members has to be voted off. So the question is, what is your relationship? Let's say there's 6-7 people at this point.
Yeah, and do they consider you a threat or enough of an asset that they need you? And that's what always surprised me when I watch the show. I mean, I've had some limited training in what I can eat that grows in nature, but not enough. If I was going on a show like that, I think I'd be absolutely memorizing everything I could get my hands on about what I can eat in that place. Are you prepared when you come? Did you prepare like that?
Well, you prepare as much as you can. Now, you have to understand that we're limited as far as how far we can go into, for instance, the jungle and things of that sort, and there's only a certain beach area. So you're pretty much limited to coconuts and what you can find in the sea, whether you can catch by hand, we'll say like clams and shellfish like that, or if you have to chip it off, a rock, mussels, and things of that sort. I lost 20 pounds. And I was pretty much an average for the men, 20-some pounds. And a lot of the women, is 10, 12, 14 pounds, which is a lot of weight. Let's say it's about 40 days.
On a smaller person. Yeah, for sure. You know, I wanted to know about these women. How come they don't turn into bearded ladies and hairy-legged ladies? What's going on with that? Even before the laser thing was out there, I noticed Survivor had women out in the bush. Do they give them a razor? Is that the one exception we don't see off camera?
You don't see any. We are giving nothing. Basically,
nothing.
We're there without. We can't shave. If you've watched the show or if your listeners have watched the show, my beard keeps getting longer and longer. The girls don't have any razors to shave underarms or wherever. So you wind up getting some hairy creatures at the end of the time. Yes, you do. We're not giving any comfort of home.
Sometimes I wonder about when they intervene, how do they know, is someone so sick
medically?
They need to go? Yeah, or do they ever give you medicine? Like, look, buddy, you're suffering an allergy attack. Here's an antihistamine. Or no, they never do.
Well, they will not let somebody become sick. In other words, if you're having an asthma attack or something like that, there are doctors available. The doctors are not right beside you 24/7, but if you're in need of an emergency type situation, something like that, yes. And particularly in that environment, it was very, very difficult. It was described by Jeff Probst, the host and also executive producer, as being in the 16 years this show has been on and 32 seasons, one of, if not the worst season as far as infections, people having to leave the game because of infections or injuries and that sort. So there, if
where
it's an emergency,
it again,
there are things there. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Where was it this time?
Cambodia.
Around?
It was on an island off the coast of Cambodia. It's Koh Rong, K-A-O-H-R-O-N-G, two words.
Okay, everybody, we're going to go to break. We're going to come back and talk more with Joe. And joining us, we'll be talking with his wife, I believe, about Yorkie Rescue. So we were getting to the animals sooner or later, but I'm also going to ask him about animals on Survivor, because sometimes there's bandits. Sometimes there's a chicken challenge or something that they have to do where I'm shrugging at home because I can't believe they don't know how to catch a chicken. Okay, so we'll come back and talk about that on Smart Animal Talk All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and a little bit of Yorkie Rescue, of course. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Hey, pet lovers, have you had this problem? Did you ever lose your keys in your purse or in your pockets? Looking for a better way to carry your dog treats when walking your pet? Or, and this is a big one for me, looking for a better and safer way to carry your phone? Well, stop looking. The hip clip and pocket accessory is for you. Go to hipclips.com. I'm going to spell it for you. HIPKLIPS.com. HipClips.com. The best way to carry your everyday personals. Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Super Essentials, your pet's best friend. Super Essentials is an immune system builder for all the animals. 100% human-made ingredients and made in the USA. Promotes longevity, increases energy, builds healthy joints and strong bones. It builds a solid foundation for excellent health for dogs and cats. This is what I want you to do. Go to www.MotherEarthPet.com to learn so much more about this product. My producer uses it for his pets and for himself as well. That is MotherEarthPet.com. A happy pet is a healthy pet. The site again, www.MotherEarthPet.com. And anytime you're near, hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, which means you're listening to me, Deb Wolf, debwolf.ca, if you want to look at my, my lovely Facebook page with the Camp Good Dog dogs and the videos and all the cute dogs and cats and animals I rescue and the things I deal with out here. Plus, there's some bonus offers coming your way. But right now, we're talking about Survivor because we're talking with Joe still, and I was just about to ask him, was there anything that happened during the show? Because sometimes they do. Sometimes they have a monkey bandit or a chicken they're supposed to take care of and get eggs from. Was there anything animal related this time around, Joe?
Well, one night while we were sleeping, we heard a bell going clang, 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 clang. And we kind of were awakened and it was dark. It was kind of a full moon. And we saw this large hulk in the jungle kind of coming toward our construction there. And it was actually a water buffalo, but it was owned by someone. We actually saw it had a bell on it and just kind of wandered off. And then it just kept wandering as we shuttered under our shelter.
Big no animal. Problem with the water buffalo. Noisy, smelly, big animal. I could see that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, yes, sometimes you there's a challenge where a chicken is involved that has to be caught or something like that. And it's amazing how long it takes to catch a chicken. But you guys are exhausted, right? You're dehydrated.
Yeah,
I keep forgetting that part. You're not at your best.
That's true. We do have a chicken, Ty, who was a Vietnamese fellow that is on the tribe. He named it Mark. So far, the chicken is still alive and well and kind of hanging out at campsite so far this season.
Okay, so we sort of talked on this a bit. I'm going to ask you to pass the phone to your wife, if you don't mind,
sure,
so we can talk about Yorkie Rescue. But for my listeners, while we're doing that, I'm just going to let you know that there is a little bit of a connection here because you started to talk about what it was like for humans to be without razors, without showers, without the modern conveniences of, let's say, polysport, antibiotic cream, or whatever that you might need on a camping trip in the jungle. And lacking supplies, say your canoe got taken. So there you are, surviving by your wits and not much else. How sick would you be? How stinky would you be? How dirty would you be? Well, that's like what dogs live with all the time. They don't really shower very often. They don't get a lot of grooming and care for us from us. And maybe that's okay for some breeds some of the time. Maybe they can endure quite well. But for a lot of the breeds, we've bred them. We've made them so they need us. We've put them with long, long hair and tresses and hard to clean out ears that suit the uses we wanted or the looks we wanted. And now that animal really can't manage without us. And Yorkies, we're going to talk about next. Yorkies are an example of a dog that really can't manage on its own. It's not made for the wild anymore. It needs some care. And that's why sometimes people think they're really cute and they don't realize that they're going to have to take care of it for quite a while. And thank goodness we have people who do Yorkie rescue. So welcome to the show, Linda.
Here's Linda right here.
No, okay, you don't sound like Linda.
Hello.
Hi, Linda. So we're talking about Yorkie rescue. And can you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Well, we've got two different organizations I'm going to talk about today. Florida Yorkie Rescue is the parent nonprofit to Yorkie House. Now, Florida Yorkie Rescue has been in business for quite a period of time, and that nonprofit is dedicated to the rescue, the rehab, and rehoming of Yorkies, Morkies, and Maltese. And it's a group of volunteers. We don't have a facility at this time. All of our fosters are placed in private homes until they can be adopted. And then Yorkie House is going to be a senior sanctuary for Yorkies that may be too old for adoption. And both of these organizations are run by the same group of people. They're different nonprofits at this point. And I am secretary of the board of Florida Yorkie Rescue and co-founder of Yorkie House.
What do you guys need? If you could have anything from my listeners, either organization, the Yorkie dogs that are in your care, what would you like to see donated? What would you need?
Well, currently we are exploring every avenue to build the sanctuary. So we would love to have money. We would love to have property. A lot of folks are now designing pet trusts with their attorneys to provide for their pets, you know, when they are no longer able to care for them. We have a host of things that folks can do. They certainly can call us to discuss any of that or go to both of our websites, but we're really looking at anything and everything.
Can you give out your website? Can you give out your website,
sure.
Linda, please?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Let me give you Florida Yorkie first. It's
okay.
FloridaYorkieRescue.com, mm-hmm. And Yorkie House is YorkieHouse.org.
So if you're listening right now and you happen to have a Yorkie or a Maltese, or I'm guessing is a Morkie a Maltese Yorkie cross? Is that what that is?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
If you got one of those at some point, you may need a home for it. You may pass before it does. And then wouldn't you like to have set something up with this group so that your Yorkie, your Morkie, your Maltese goes to the right place? Plus, maybe if you're in Florida and you think you would like to have a little dog like this in your life, maybe not forever, maybe just for a few months. Are you looking for any fosters, Linda?
Absolutely. We're always looking for fosters. And we have a program that we've been designing that will allow for permanent foster care. For example, Joe and I have a permanent foster that we brought into our home a year and a half ago. She's now 17, deaf and blind, and she has an enlarged liver, but that doesn't hamper her in any way. She was discarded, and Florida Yorkie took her in to the rescue, and she is our permanent foster. She's in a baby diaper and a onesie. And she just is living the life. And when we brought her into her home, everyone thought she would only live maybe a couple of months. And we've had her for a year and 4 months. So she's living the life over here. And we certainly are looking at those opportunities as well.
Because if a dog has a lot of special needs, then it's going to take special care. And if you volunteer because you think you can handle that, they're not going to... it's not going to be a burden on you. They're going to help you. That's why it stays in the foster, right? But there's also probably dogs available that aren't so high maintenance, high needs, right?
Oh, absolutely. We have our adoption program through Florida Yorkie, and all of the dogs that are up for adoption are listed on that website. They're adorable. You know, we have many, many dogs come through our rescue. Some of them are special needs, but some of them are quite healthy mentally, physically, and then they go and make a wonderful pets for many, many years.
Yeah, I like Yorkies. I remember this one I went to train years and years ago. There were two in the same house, and the female was quite a bit bigger. She was a silky with silver hair, and he was this tiny, tiny, tiny Yorkie, and the owner just could not get him to go to the bathroom outside. And it took me maybe 5 minutes to teach him to go on the patio where she wanted him to go. But then I had to spend the rest of the lesson teaching him that it was not a nonstop. In, out, in, out, in, out, all day long, because now he only had one trick. His name was Norman, his wife or mother, whatever you want to call her. Her name was Maxie. And he just, you know, it was like he just, oh, well, they like it when I do this, so I'll just keep doing this all day long. But very keen little guy. Okay,
but well, it was a game for him.
Oh, totally. It was like the one trick. Then I had to spend the rest of the lesson teaching him other tricks because, you know, he was a one-trick wonder. So he had to just keep doing this one trick. Yeah. Okay, so we have to go to break. We're going to have to end with that. One more time, can you give out the website, please?
Yes, FloridaYorkieRescue.com, YorkieHouse.org.
Thank you very much for joining us today. All right, everybody. We'll be talking with Jamie Walanowski next about something else entirely, Open Door Publishing. Stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Preen Pets, 100% natural dog treats made and sourced in the USA. Positively no chemicals and no additives. Treats, sticks, and bones made with chicken, fish, pork, turkey, beef, and vegetables. Wow, and vegetables? This is what I want you to do. Go to www.preenpets.com. That is PreenPets.com. Give your furry children the best nutrition for a long and healthy life. Go to preenpets.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. I would like to introduce you to Lenstatin. If your pet has failing eyesight due to cataracts, then you need to check this out. Lenstatin, the world's only cataract protection developed by Dr. Scott Tunis, board-certified ophthalmologist and a nationally recognized expert in cataract surgery. Lenstatin, a human source supplement made right here in the USA that you can even use for yourself. For more information, go to Lenstatin.com. That's LENSTATIN, Lenstatin.com. If you tell them that All Paws sent you, you will receive 10% off their already low prices. So go to Lenstatin.com today. Your pet will thank you.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and we're coming back with Jamie Alama to talk a little bit about Open Door Publishing. Welcome to the show, Jamie.
Thank you so much for having me, Deborah. I'm really excited.
Well, who is Open Door Publishing? What's your mission? What are you all about?
Open Door Publishing is a nonprofit children's educational company, and our mission is to educate children about social issues that affect both humans and animals. And we promote tolerance, acceptance, and animal advocacy. And we raise awareness to causes that usually are not discussed with children. And we also push for philanthropy and for them to be able to
be the voice of the voiceless, and start at a really young age.
I see you have a series called Rescue Me, which is interesting because I had a book called that I bought back from the publisher, and I never published it, and now I'm having all these regrets as I see that title. It was such a cool title. My book was just How to Train a Rescue Dog. Things like how to go up and down stairs, how to deal with dogs who've maybe never seen a mirror or a glass door, all these type of things that sometimes when you rescue a dog, you've got to start from scratch, but it's a grown-up, and it lacks these basic skills. What was your series about, Rescue Me?
The Rescue Me series started when I rescued a border collie named Drew, who came with tons of issues. He was 6 months old when we got him, and he was in four homes, and he was beaten. I mean, it was awful, the shape that he was in. And I always call him the Grinch because he started with a little heart. By the time, you know, throughout his life, his heart got bigger and bigger. And it's just really about his struggles that are so similar to human struggles and how we can all relate to them. And through these stories, that's what we shed light on. Human, you know, just life struggles that we all go through. Abandonment, facing fears and change, homelessness, prejudice, or saying goodbye to a loved one. And so through these series, we just kind of take away the taboo for the kids, and we use the animals as the protagonists, and we kind of see the story unfold through their lives, but they always remain optimistic and courageous throughout, and they just teach us, kids, you know, adults as well, that we can be accepting and loving, and we can treat everyone with kindness, and good things happen, you know, when you do good things.
Nice. What is The Upstairs Cat about?
The Upstairs Cat is the first cat in the series, and all the books in the series are semi-autobiographical, and this is truly the story. My son had this cat, and they shared the same room forever, and he went away to college, so she was kind of left alone, and again, so true. And so here she was in this room all alone. She never left it because that was his world, you know, her world. And so she had to face her fears and change and brave the outside of her door. She had to go see it. And so even though her life was kind of black and white when she was in there like the Wizard of Oz, once she came out, the color came out. And she found humans that loved her and other animals that loved her in the house. And so she went from this scared place to a wonderful place. And as we know, all humans and animals have, you know, faced a fear or a change. Maybe somebody left their life, but they did come back. And so it's just all about her journey, and she takes the kids on the journey with her. And it's always, again, through optimism and courage that just encourages everyone to see her world as she sees it now. And now she really goes up and down the steps. She really has come a long way.
Who's this aimed at? Is this young adults?
Actually, it's preschool because it's a picture book. So I made it a picture book because adults hold it too. So it's really honestly for everyone. But our target audience is like preschool to fifth grade. And what we do at the end of all the series, at the end of every book, is a what would you do kind of questionnaire. And it asks the kids, you know, put them in their the protagonist situation and what they would do and how they would handle it. And it just kind of sheds light on being able to give a voice to the voiceless and that they have the power within them. Even little teeny, they have that power and that they can make a difference in the world and that they can change the world for everyone to be accepting. And it really is. It's acceptance, it's tolerance, it's equality, it's everything that affects both humans and kids. But it's done in an age-appropriate way.
So, okay, I'm hoping that we can get your books in libraries. Are they available in school libraries and places like that?
Well, that's exactly what I'm hoping. As an educational publisher, that is my goal. Because, again, it's a tool. It's made as a tool for parents and educators to talk about these difficult social issues that are usually taboo, nobody wants to talk about, but they're done in such a kind-hearted, light way. And so, yes, what we're trying to do is, because we're a nonprofit, we're looking for grants and anything and everything to get them into schools, to get them into libraries, to get them into bookstores, so that they can be used to help open a dialogue and to you know, again, raise awareness to animal advocacy and just, you know, common human decency.
Do you support any specific rescues yourself?
Yes, we do have a couple, and they're very near and dear to my heart because they have saved some of my animals. But all the charities that we pick, because a portion of the proceeds of every book go to a specific charity chosen specifically for that book. So the Upstairs Cat, the two charities, one saves my cat, and they're in California, and the other one saves my dog. But they go all around Southern California to kill shelters, and they take out cats and dogs, and they save them, and they keep them until they find forever homes. And that's what it's all about, finding forever homes. And I picked these small little nonprofits because they solely depend on private donation, and without it, they couldn't even exist. And they do really great things. I call them the faces of the faceless people. Nobody ever sees them, but as a kindness of their heart, they, you know, they give whatever time that they have, even though they have jobs or whatever, and they do this just to save animals.
As a publisher, are you accepting other authors for Open Door? And are any kids sending in books, I'm wondering?
Yes. Well, unfortunately, at this point, and hopefully through you, people will know more about us. But that's exactly what, you know, we wish to do. We want young authors. We want actually any author, a kid. We have a waiver, so it's all legal and everything, but we want kids to write stories. We want, you know, high school students, young adults. They could write poetry or music, like rap music, storytelling, essay, whatever. Just as long as they promote some kind of education towards some cause.
And as okay, long so as they Jamie, we are so fast running out of time. Can you tell people your website, please, so they can reach
yes.
you?
Yes. It's www.anopendoor.us. And they can go there, they can donate, they can buy a book, they could see what we're all about.
Thank you very much for joining us today, Jamie.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Oh, it was great. Okay, everybody, Smart Animal Talk continues. Next, we have Chris Rubin, and as usual, he'll bring one of his friends, and he'll tell you how you could buy the stuff you always buy, the way you always buy it online, except one little thing extra. One little step, you still get the same deals, you still get the same stuff, but money goes to animal shelters, and you could pick which one. So sometimes we profile one, and I'm hoping we'll have a guest today to talk about what they're doing for animals, and then we'll come back after that with Becky Starr to finish the show. So stay tuned. It's a big show, and I think we ran out of parts of the body. I think we're continuing the car trip with Becky. So if you're planning a road trip with your animals or a move, stay tuned. We'll be getting to that later in the show on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Stay tuned for a great show. Hey, pet lovers. Now you can simply wash your pet's filthy collars and leashes. Introducing Laundrleash, a padded, porous laundry bag designed to get rid of those nasty germs. Simply zip up your pet's collar and leash in Laundrleash and toss it in with your next load of laundry. Wow, no more soaking or spending money to replace them. This is what I want you to do. Go to laundrleash.com. LaundrLeash.com. At last, an easy way to get rid of the bacteria and germs on the dirtiest pet product we all own, Laundrleash. Hey, pet lovers, listen up. You can now bring your pets with you everywhere you go. That's right. Handmade, personalized jewelry featuring a photograph. Yes, a photograph of your loving pet. Dew's Jewelry offers bracelets, necklaces, keychains, and more. This beautiful jewelry not only makes a wonderful gift, but it's also a special way to memorialize a pet that has passed away. You have to see this. This is what I want you to do. go to www.doosjewelry.com. I'm going to spell it out for you again. www.doosjewelry.com. Once again, that is DOOSjewelry.com. DOOSjewelry.com. Hop online and order your personalized jewelry today. Hey, pet lovers, you have to see this. Unique custom pet portraits. I mean unique. These are really cool. You can now have your furry children look like a king, a queen, plus so much more. Make them the leaders of the world. There's nothing like this. It's a must, especially for the holidays. This is what I want you to do. Go to therenaissancepet.com. I'll spell it for you. The, therenaissance pet.com. Therenaissancepet.com. The Renaissance Pet Portraits. For the pets who has it all.
And anytime you're near.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I'm looking out the window at a standard poodle running with a Labrador, and they're picking up, they're really moving. They are moving. It's a Labrador, a Border Collie, possibly Chow Cross, has freckles on his tongue, so that's why I say that. But they are really kicking up speed. And you might look at a little dog like a Dachshund, like those wiener dogs, and think, do they ever get any faster than that? They seem to be set on permanent cruise. It's not true. They do get faster than that. They can really motor, usually in circles. We're going to talk about that and some other things as we join Chris Rubin and Dee, his guest. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you so much, as always, for having me, Deb. Dee, welcome to you as well. Just a little quick background on Dee, and she's going to give you more. But Dee and I met at Bark World in 2015 in Atlanta, and at the time, I was looking for a hook to become more involved in helping senior and special needs animals across the nation. And Dee is one of the first persons I've talked to about this particular concept, and she took me on this journey of all the things that she does over a large geographic area. And without any further ado, Dee, welcome to the show. Please help us understand what you do and where you do it.
Well, first, thank you very, very much, Chris and Deborah. I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show and talk a little bit about, obviously, my passion. We are basically a senior dachshund rescue, senior and special needs, I should really say. We go from Virginia all the way down the coast to Florida and across to Texas. We are a foster-based rescue and currently have, as of today, 66 dogs in foster care.
And where do these dogs primarily come from when they come to you?
Well, that's, you know, we really don't have one venue that's that we use more than another. If I think a great deal are owner surrenders. Not I think, but I know a great deal are owner surrenders. And with seniors, we run into that a lot, and primarily because older people have a tendency to have smaller dogs. A lot of them have dachshunds. And when the humans become incapacitated, unfortunately, many times they don't have plans for their dogs. And I deal with 90% of the owner surrenders. We also pull from shelters in each state that we operate in. And we have even taken strays that some of our, you know, volunteers have said, have just called one of us and said, I just found Max on the side of the road. Max is in bad shape, and we immediately, you know, spring into action.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, that being said, how did you guys settle on wanting to focus on senior and special needs dachshunds?
Well, that story actually is the story of our inception and how we came to be. Four of us on Twitter were friends, and we all had dachshunds, and that's actually what brought us together on Twitter. And we went to Facebook and realized that the four of us were actually doing the same thing. We were posting animals in need that we had found in shelters, and we were cross-posting, essentially. And they were dachshunds, because that's what we each had. And we ended up becoming close friends, and Get Along Dachshund Rescue was actually created and formed after we did our first rescue, which was Frodo, from a shelter in Killeen, Texas. She was 14 years old and in extremely bad shape. He would not have lasted two more days had we not gotten him out of the shelter. And from Frodo evolved Get Along Dachshund Rescue. We got our 501c3 in August of 2014. And in 2015, we rescued over 140 dachshunds.
And how many have you found homes for?
In 2015, 90.
That's incredible. So, you know, we've had many conversations about many different animals and also many different dog breeds. And typically what we talk about are what are some of the unique special needs challenges faced by those particular breeds and or animals. Share with us what some of the most prevailing special needs are among the dachshunds.
There are two. Number one, teeth. Number two, backs. And not necessarily in that order.
The teeth thing I get. The back thing, is it from jumping down? Is that what's happening?
It's from jumping at all.
Jumping
dachshunds,
at all.
You know, their backs are too long to support their vertebrae. And if you allow them to jump up, down, hop around, anything like that, they're genetically predisposed to have back issues. I actually had five of my own dachshunds. Of those five, three of them had IBDD. One of them was operated on, and the other two we did conservative crate rest with.
Wow.
And So
a lot of the dogs you get in the rescue have back problems? Is that what I'm getting here? Or teeth that need to be pulled? Is that part of the package?
Well, every dachshund that we take will get a dental. Unless they are unless we can't get them healthy enough to survive. Because unfortunately, once your mouth is completely rotted, it influences, of course, the whole entire rest of your body. And many of these dachshunds that we get have never had any dental care whatsoever. And some of them have had very little, you know, zero to little vetting at all. So if we can get them physically strong enough, they'll all have dentals. Insofar as backs, we partner with Canine Backpack, which is a wonderful organization of experts on back care. We have a nutritionalist on board who will try and, you know, we formulate special foods if they need it, or find just the precise food that's going to help these little guys get their feet back on the ground. But the biggest part of that is back education. People don't know the right way to pick up a dachshund.
Okay, so you should never pick up a dog like a child by the front underarms,
yes,
letting the whole body weight hang. It seems cute. It's so much stress on these tiny little parts of a dog's body in underneath the shoulder there. It can't do it, right? Is that what's going on?
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right.
And preventable.
It is a great deal of it is preventable. Sometimes you can have the best care. My first dachshund is right now 15 years old, but she came up lame at 2 years old, which the prime time for dachshunds is usually between 4 and 6. She was very young. And there was nothing. She didn't jump. She didn't just one evening.
Right, so sometimes it's unavoidable, but you definitely don't want to exacerbate the situation of having a very heavy body on tiny little arms by picking it up incorrectly.
Yes.
So teach your dogs how to jump into your arms. Teach them how to jump up onto things so you're not reaching down like that. And teach your kids, too. Chris, we only have 2 minutes left, so I'm going to ask you to make sure you get the website information out there, okay?
Well, I appreciate that as always, Deb. You're always so good to us in that regard. But a couple of things I wanted to mention beforehand. Dee, do you have fosters in the state of Texas? I believe
Absolutely.
You said you did. Okay,
yes.
I'm going to be talking to you separately after this broadcast on a program we have going called Cans to the Rescue, and that is where we are providing free canned super premium dog food to shelters and rescues across Texas. But aside from that, if you are a shopper, if you shop online at anywhere, really, we have over 750 stores in our mall. The simple thing to do is anytime you shop online, just remember, click through AdoptTheShelter.com. Maybe you pick Get Along Dachshund Rescue. And then everything you buy earns a percentage. A percentage of everything you buy will then go to Dee's organization or any organization you pick. Whether it's Amazon, whether it's Zazzle, whether it's PetSmart, travel, you name it. We always say from travel to toilet paper, we have it all, and everything earns a donation for the shelter of your choice.
Thank you for joining me, Chris. Thank you for joining me, Dee, and thank you for all the good work you do. We're going to have to go to break. We only have half a minute left before the break. Coming back after break, we'll be talking about how to be safe when you go on a car trip with your dog or your cat, whether it's a move, a short trip, long trip, how to be safe in the car with Becky Starr coming up next on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Thinking of pizza? The best pizza in town. Then go to Bear Nose, located in Orange City, Florida, next to Publix. Tell them the radio sent you to receive free garlic cheese sticks. Free delivery for orders to go. Call now and order. Call 386-775-2327. Visit their website, bearnosefl.com. I'll spell it for you. BARNOSFL.com. Listen up, animal lovers. You can support your local animal shelters and welfare organizations for free. Just shop online through AdoptAShelter.com. It's easy. Go to AdoptAShelter.com, pick the organization you want to support, and then connect to over 750 of your favorite online stores, including Amazon, Expedia, Macy's, Office Depot, Walmart, and Zazzle. Then shop like you normally do. Everything you buy earns a cash donation for the animal welfare organization of your choice. And you always pay the exact same prices as going to the merchant directly. Simply click, shop, and donate at AdoptAShelter.com.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you,
and I love you,
and you know that
you know
I really do.
I really do.
Hello! You're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And we teased you a little last week. We told you, we maybe made you feel guilty about your dog hanging his head out the window when you drive fast. Oh, no. Really? Really? And about seatbelts, yes. And about staying safe on the road. But we're coming back with more of that because we didn't cover it all. We didn't warn you that when you rent a cabin or a cottage, you got to flush those toilets, make sure there's no chemicals. When you rent any place, there might be ant poison out that your dog will snarf up before you can see. So go in first ahead of time. And we're going to tell you all kinds of things about how to travel in the car with your pets because we started and we didn't finish. Becky, welcome to the show. Becky Starr, welcome back.
Nice to be here again today, and hello all you pet lovers out there.
Yes, I feel like we're in the middle of a road trip. I feel like we got the car half packed, right? The kids are underfoot. When are we going? When are we going? The dog's whining. Everything's packed, getting warm, the cooler, the ice packs. Okay, now what? Now what, Becky?
Well, you know, us road trips, I think of what always comes to my mind are the Chevy Chase vacation movies.
Yes, with the station wagon and the kids in the back. My parents used to take us from Toronto, Ontario to Sarasota, Florida in a station wagon. And me and my sister and my brothers, we would fight to be the ones who got to ride in the back of the station wagon. It was all kitted out like a bed. And we would stick our feet on the window. I don't know why. Somehow communicating with other drivers that we have feet. And we would do that all the way to Florida from Toronto. And now we buckle them all in and they have these little safety seats and everything else. And I would never let my parents take my kids like that. So it's different,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Times have changed. You know, I think road trips are basically instilled into the Americans as a birthright, you know, or all humans rather. You know, we get in the car, we gas it up, we turn on the tunes, we drive off into the beautiful sunset like a movie. But if you're bringing your pet along, you know, there's some quick little handy list of suggestions that'll make your trip a lot easier and not so chaotic, and you'll feel like you're prepared for everything. Really basic stuff that probably most of you already know, but it's good to reiterate right now because it's that time people are starting to plan their trips. So the very first thing you want to do is when you know you're going to be doing a road trip, day, 3 day, a week, a month, always take your little Fido, Fifi, or Kitty into your vet. Have everything checked. Get all of a copy of all the current medical records to take with you because you never know when you might need them. If any medications are required, make sure you have refills for the trip and you're not running out on the road. Again, as we talked about last week, security. Create a safe space for them to enjoy the ride, be safe, hooked in, strapped in, car seats, carrier, blankies, favorite toys. Keep them tethered, keep them safe, you know, and occupied. Again, a really important part of this is to make sure you have updated, detailed ID tags on your pet collars. So many people do not put collars on their dogs or do not
you can't,
have
yeah, it
ID
should
tag.
Have everything you can throw at it. If you've got the microchip, great, add a collar, add a tag. If your pet ever gets surgery anytime, get a tattoo. You know, make it so anyone can call you if your pet is found, not just someone with the right scanner or someone who looks in the ear or someone who maybe the collar blows off. You need as much ID as you can get on that dog or cat.
That's right. And something else that most of us probably don't even think about and we don't want to think about is on that trip, make sure you take a recent photo of your dog and, again, all your vet records because you never know when you might need a photo.
Yeah, vaccine papers, your certificate of spay or neuter if you're crossing a border. You should call ahead for all this kind of stuff. Don't
That's
just
right.
leave it up to whim, where you're going to stay, what you're going to do, that the campsite or the B&B allows dogs or doesn't. You know, don't just say, oh, well, we better not ask. We'll just go. No, 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 no. When you have a pet, you want to ask for sure. You want to make sure everything is pet friendly all the way because you can't leave your pets in unair-conditioned cars or hotel rooms. You just can't when it's hot. So you got to really think this out. Collapsible bowls, water, food, emergency pet first aid kit, numbers for vets along the way and where you're going. These are all really important, right, Becky?
They are. And something, what you were just mentioning is something I was going to bring up about bringing the food, treats, water, water bowls, any kind of, you know, safe chew toy to keep them busy. But you really want to try not to upset their diet on a road trip. So if you can pack their food or, you know, some of us, you know, like for me, I do all, you know, real meat, real vegetables. It's not so easy to take on a trip. But I also know that, you know, with dietary restrictions, maybe, you know, you stop and, you know, get a breast of chicken or a breast of turkey or, you know, if you're doing kibble and canned food, it makes it easy. But if you're not, you know, you have to plan ahead of grocery stores, shopping and stopping and being able to provide the same diet. Because if you start throwing them off their regular diet on a road trip, I don't think you're going to like the results. So try to keep them on.
Oh, and you know, I get so often, because my kennel, people will send not enough food and I got to go out and get the food. And that's okay if it's an easy to find food. But if it's like some brand that hardly anybody carries and it's, you know, venison and potato, wild turkey, I can go hunting store to store to store. Well, if you're in some vacation place, they may not have anything close to that. So pack it ahead.
That's right. And try to keep everything routine and normal so you don't create a problem for yourself in the car or outside the car. Again, we talked about bringing their favorite toys, blankies, shoes. With, if you're talking about the kitties, they have disposable cat litter, travel boxes now, and litter. You know, those are really handy. You can just throw them out at every truck stop.
And I would suggest, even if your cat's really well-trained, you don't let anybody take it out of the carrier when you're en route. You just don't. Something
no,
can spook
not a cat.
It. A kid will take it out, and another kid will open the door to get his wallet and not realize, and boom, the cat's missing at an intersection. So everybody's on leash and collared and harnessed anyway, but also cats stay in cages. And dogs do not wander around gas stations where they can lick antifreeze puddles. That's really, really important.
It is. And same with, you know, throw in an emergency travel kit. Think of all the same things that you would for your human family. Always an extra towel in the car for, you know, the unknown that might just happen, especially if your little doggy or cat gets car sick. And this is a big
topic.
Oh,
yeah, extra blankets, extra bags, all the things to clean up if they have a mask, all that stuff. You really need to plan. Car sickness is a problem, isn't it?
It is, and a lot of people, in case they, you know, some of us take our dogs or kitties in the car regularly, some of us don't, and if suddenly you're planning a road trip for the first time with your pet, you may not have any idea if they get car sickness. So always do some trial runs, you know, get that dog or cat out in the car, get them used to the car, see how they react, how they feel, and if they do get car sickness, you know, there's a lot of natural remedies out there, as well as conventional options that you can talk about with your vet. But if they have a tendency toward car sickness, another handy hint is have them on an empty stomach. Don't fill them up with food and then put them in the car because you're just asking for trouble. Do your homework
first. I do find that most often, not always, but most often when I meet a dog who's supposed to be car sick or afraid of the car or won't get in the car, hates the car, I can undo it very, very quickly most of the time. Usually it's because the owner only used the car for bad things, like the day the dog's owner died or the day the dog went to get neutered or the day that, and not that neutering's a bad thing, but if the only time he was ever in a car, he got surgery, you know, he's not exactly inclined to go in the car again. So a few short little car trips, sometimes even around the block and home again, to show him that the car doesn't always go to bad places, you know. And we were talking about the people, sometimes we have a dog boarding here on the fanciest food, and then I'm taking it home, and the dog starts to whine and howl at every drive-through. And I know what these people are doing. They're giving the dog Burger King or McDonald's, you know. The dog is totally ratting them out. Oh, no, we don't know why he still has his skin allergy. We feed him duck and potato. Yeah, how about Big Macs, you know? I think that maybe part potato, french fry, not the same thing. So, yeah, no, but, but you do have to think about it. Because you don't want to be on a road trip with a gassy dog or a pukey dog or an uncomfortable dog when really, you know, you could just hold off. It may be fun for the moment as he begs it and eats it and he's delighted by the surprise, but it's not really what you want on a road trip. Becky, we've run out of time. See, you didn't think we could do two segments on road trips, and we've done it.
I know. Well, the last final things is, you know, keep the car well ventilated, take potty breaks, never leave them unattended, and of course, be ahead of the game, search for parks, hotels, emergency vets before you're leaving and planning, and you'll be set and safe to go.
I would add, spray everything. If you know, the hotel room that allows dogs allowed a dog last week, too. Spray it before you go in. Spray your suitcases. All the fleas. I worry about fleas. When I travel with dogs, I don't want to come home with extra passengers. Okay, everybody, we'll be back next week. That was Becky Starr from Redstone Media and me, Deb Wolf, debwolf.ca. Camp Good Dog is where I live. Seriously, I do. With more dogs and cats than humans. And that's how I like it. So until next week, from Becky Starr and Deb Wolf and All Paws Pet Talk and Smart Animal Talk, be good to your animals.
And anytime you're near.